Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Tuesday, the 7th of March, 2023. Glad to have you along with us. Mr. Zahmer is along with us as well on the board and on the phones. Our producer, engineer, Mr. Zahmer, we have made it to hour number three. A busy morning and some breaking news here this morning.
Busy indeed, although some of the breaking news far more important than others.
Yes.
You know, Aaron Rodgers doing whatever he does. Whatever.
I know, exactly. Get to that breaking news in just a minute. First of all, a quick check of your weather forecast across the state of Wisconsin today. First of all, at WRCE, news from the center in Richland Center in southwest Wisconsin today. Mostly sunny, a beautiful day, a high of 42 in the RC today. For tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 30. And tomorrow, Wednesday, mostly cloudy and a high of 44 degrees. Then for Wausau, WXCO, Bull Falls Radio today, mostly sunny, a high of 38. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 21. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy and a low of 36 degrees. WLAK, Lake Air Radio in beautiful Amory, northwest Wisconsin today, partly sunny, a high of 37 degrees. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 25. Tomorrow, Wednesday, looks like cloudy in the morning, a slight chance of a snow shower in the afternoon, a high of 36. Snow may come into the picture more so on Wednesday night into Thursday in Amory. Elsewhere, it looks like Thursday night, according to Kara Foster from Weatherology, saying that most of the state will get some sort of a snow event. Could be 3-4 inches, could be 8 or 9 inches, depending upon where you are at. We'll track the storm, have more details for you throughout the day today and tomorrow as well as that storm moves closer. As we alluded to at the top of the hour here, breaking news across the news wires this morning. First of all, the more serious topic in Mexico, according to CBS News this morning, the 4 Mexican tourists who crossed into Mexico just over the border from Brownsville a couple of days ago, reportedly, according to family members, to seek a plastic surgery procedure and possibly to get medications as well, were kidnapped at gunpoint, as shown on video from Mexico. According to Mexican authorities, those 4 Americans have been found this morning. 2 of them are dead. 2 are still alive. 1 in critical condition. More information from both the Mexican and U.S. governments to come. But again, at this hour, CBS News saying the 4 Americans that have been kidnapped in Mexico, 2 have been found dead, the other 2 alive, 1 in critical condition. As Mr. Zahmer said, in less important news as far as actual people go, but certainly topical as far as Wisconsin, reports this morning from ESPN that Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers got permission and spoke to the New York Jets overnight about possibly going and being a Jet. No confirmation on what's going on as far as where those talks are at right now, but it appears that Aaron Rodgers is at least interested in going to the Jets, and the Packers at least are willing to talk about a trade because they have to give the Jets permission to talk to Rodgers, and of course they wouldn't do that if they were completely not open to a trade. So, things may be happening between Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. Could this be the season of love? Welcome aboard. It's love. Jordan Love. Could he be the new starting quarterback for the Packers? Here we go.
This is Seasons of Love from the movie Rent.
So, yes.
Man, maybe we're getting into the Seasons of Love.
The Season of Love. It could be. Very well done, Mr. Summers. I appreciate that. So, all kinds of breaking news this morning. And this just breaking across the CBS wires as well. The U.S. Department of Justice this morning has sued to block JetBlue's proposed $3.8 billion of Spirit Airlines. The deal announced in July of 2022 would create the 5th largest carrier in the U.S. and represent the largest airline industry merger since Alaska Air bought Virgin America in 2016 for $2.6 billion. JetBlue CEO Robin Hayes told CBS this morning that the airline was disappointed but not surprised by the government's decision to challenge the transaction in court. Quote, we said when we got the offer approved by the Spirit shareholders last year that we didn't think we could close till the first half of 2024, you know, expecting a trial. So we will see what happens there. But federal government suing to stop the deal, the merger between JetBlue and Spirit Airlines. Ever flown Spirit, Mr. Somers?
I have not.
Lucky you. it's a budget airline. It's a budget airline. And I don't know if I can say that. Well, I won't say it. I won't say the actual word. I mean, it's a slogan. I think I could say it. But, you know, literally when you go on their website or you get, like, your ticket, it doesn't rhyme this way. But it says Spirit Airline, your butt and gas. So imagine what rhymes with gas. that's literally their slogan.
So, wow.
Because there are no frills on Spirit Airline. In fact, some of their seats don't even recline. You just have to, it's like riding a bus basically to wherever you're going.
I mean, I don't recline my seat ever anyway because as somebody with long legs,
yes,
it upsets me when people in front of me do and they're just like, how would I put this all the way back? And I'm like, are you kidding me? I have legs.
I know. I usually, if I do put it back, I just go like the one notch, just a little bit. I can't remember the last time. Well, I hadn't flown in 3 years until last weekend. So, but I try to be respectful of people behind me as well, because I've been eating and somebody reclines their seat. That's just right. Nightmare. Back with more after this. You're on the Todd Allball Show. Luke Mathers coming up at the bottom of the hour. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Show it is now 15 past the hour of 10 o'clock, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers. Nicely done there, Mr. Zommers. We'll hear that song a lot in the next month or so. It is March Madness time, and I can actually say that because that is a trademarked phrase you can only use on CBS-affiliated stations, both radio and TV, and many of our stations are CBS affiliates.
Well, so, what if one of them isn't that you just said it on?
But we at least some of them are. So I think that clears us. That's close enough for government work, and I ought to know. I was in government long enough. So, yes, on our CBS stations, it will be March Madness time. For everyone else, it is the March tournament. But we'll just use March Madness because we are part of the CBS radio network in some of our affiliates, such as WXCO in Wausau. Bull Falls Radio. I believe Amory is as well. RCO in Richland Center is an ABC news affiliate there. So it is tournament time coming up here. Both of our Wisconsin Maine men's basketball Division I programs, both the Badgers and Marquette, are going to be in the tournament. We hope. It is, of course, conference tournament time, Badgers Big Ten tournament, and of course Marquette in the Big East tournament, and so they will be going on right now. There, if you live in the right city, and actually most of our listeners in Richland Center, Amory, and Marquette are right cities in terms of will you be able to hear these broadcasts on the Civic Media Network. Most of the time, I always point you to the Civic Media app, and you can listen to programming on the app. In this case, we are not allowed to stream, and this information, by the way, comes from the wonderful and talented Terry Barr of our network, who has done all the research on this and provided us this information. So thank you to Terry Barr for passing this along. We are not allowed contractually by the various networks to stream either the Badgers or Marquette games. So if you do not live in Richland Center, Wausau, or Amory, you're not going to be able to listen to the games as far as streaming it through Civic Media. There are other sources you can stream those games, but we're not able to legally do that for you on the stream on our Civic Media app. But Marquette Golden Eagles, they'll be playing on WXCO in Bull Falls Radio and also on WIRI in Nakusa. So you can find those if you live in the Wausau area or the Nakusa Stevens Point area, you can pick those stations up. It is, of course, WXCO 1230 AM and 98.9 in Wausau and 105.5 FM in Nakusa. The Golden Eagles are the number one seed, by the way, in the Big East tournament. Marquette plays the winner of Wednesday's game, which will be St. John's University versus Butler. Marquette will tip off at 11 a.m. this Thursday. So if you live in the Wausau area, you can listen to WXCO and listen to Marquette in the Big East tournament on Thursday. The Wisconsin Badgers play Ohio State in the Big Ten tournament on Wednesday at 5:30. And you can hear that on WFHR, 1230 AM and 97.5 FM in Wisconsin Rapids. Or you can hear it in WRCE in Richland Center on 1450 AM or 107.7 FM. And also on WLAK, 1260 AM in Amory. So there you go. Our stations that we have across the Civic Media Network, our main stations, will be playing those games. So again, if you're in Wausau or Nakusa, you can listen to Marquette in the Big East tournament coming up at 11 a.m. on Thursday. And if you're in Amory or Richland Center, you can listen to the Badgers play on Wednesday at 5:30. Lots going on. I think Marquette, obviously, they're like the number five seed or number five team in the country right now, AP poll. So they're doing fantastic. They're for sure going to be in the top, probably get a three or a four seed, depending upon how well they do in the Big East tournament. Marquette, Shaka Smart, the coach there, doing a great job. And the Badgers, lots of debate. They're on the bubble. They're a bubble team. A lot of projections, bracketology has them as one of the last four teams in right now. Probably need at least one win over Ohio State on Wednesday to assure themselves they get in the tournament. Another win against Iowa would be even better. But even if they lose a Wednesday, there's still a slight chance the Badgers are in the NCAA tournament as a play-in team. But we'll see. Better off if the Badgers could just win against Ohio State. And then we get into, of course, March Madness, and there'll be all kinds of talk about that. We talked about doing a little office pool here as well. So we'll see. We'll look at doing that. But should be a good time had by all for both the Big East tournament and the Big Ten men's tournament. Perhaps talk a little bit about that coming up here at 10:30 in about 10 minutes or so when we talk to our very own Luke Mathers, of the co-host of Dueling Tangents, coming up on Tuesday Tangents with Luke at 10:30 right here. Of course, his co-host, Mr. Brian Kelly. You can hear him across the Civic Media Radio Network with the exception of Eau Claire. We're in Eau Claire. Why did I say Eau Claire? When Wausau. I'm thinking we'll be expanding to Eau Claire soon, but the Civic Media Network will. But no, in Wausau, WXCO, Chad Holmes, the Chad Holmes Show from 2 until 4. And on the rest of the network, it is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Luke will be here at the bottom of the hour. Before we bring Luke on, I want to take just a minute here because we'll have Luke with us until the end of the show today. I want to take a minute to read a little poem for you. If you'll indulge me, from Garrison Keillor, longtime host of A Prairie Home Companion on public radio, wrote a book called Leaving Home, a collection of woebegone stories by Garrison Keillor. Today is, if you indulge me, a little bittersweet day for me. My youngest godson, Jason, is headed off today. Going to be having lunch with him after our show. By the way, I'm making a quick appearance, I believe, on As Goes Wisconsin at 11:30 this morning with Kristen and Jane talking about the state Supreme Court race. And then having a quick lunch with my youngest godson and perhaps his parents as well before he takes off on a plane and jets off to the beautiful state of Washington and going to Seattle to start a new job with the Department of the Navy, working on aircraft carriers. He's not a member of the military. He's going to be on the civilian side, but very proud of him. Graduated with a degree in mechanical engineering aerospace from University of Wisconsin here in Madison. And he is headed out today on a plane to start a brand new life off on the West Coast. Very proud of him. And so when people are go away, you know, in Wisconsin, as Mike LaCroix liked to say, we never really say goodbye. Just, we'll see you real soon and on Wisconsin. But this is a great poem that I enjoy about going and pursuing our dreams. It's a story that appeared in A Prairie Home Companion towards the end of his first run on public radio. And he talks about, his radio show and how he says, quote, "We had to stop short of the destination we dreamed of, and we have to look to others. to cross those mountains that stopped us and make the home that we tried so hard to reach. Here is a poem from Garrison Keillor. Our people aimed for Oregon when they left Newburyport, great-grandma Ruth, her husband John, but they pulled up at Wobegon, 2,000 miles short. It wasn't only the dangers ahead that stopped the pioneer. My great-grandmother simply said, "It's been 3 weeks without a bed. I'm tired. Let's stay here." He put the horses out to graze while she slept up in the tent, and they sat down and beside their blaze and held each other's hands and gazed up at the firmament. "John," she said, "what's on your mind besides your restlessness? You know I'm not the traveling kind, so tell me what you hope to find out there that's not like this." The fire leapt up bright and high, the sparks as bright stars shone. "Mountains," he said, "another sky, a green new land where you and I can settle down to home. You are the dearest wife to me, though I'm restless, it is true. And Oregon is where I'd be and live in mountains by the sea, but never without you." They stayed a week to rest the team, were welcomed and befriended. The land was good, the grass was green, and slowly he gave up the dream. And there the journey ended. They bought a farm just north of town, a pleasant piece of rolling ground, a quarter section, mostly cleared. He built a house before the fall. They lived there 40 years in all, and by God persevered. And right up to his dying day when he was laid to rest, no one knew, he did not say, his dream had never gone away. He still looked to the west. She found it in his cabinet drawer, a box of pictures, every one of mountains by the ocean shore, the mountains he had headed for in the state of Oregon. There beside them lay his will. "I love you, Ruth," the will began, "and count myself a well-loved man. Please send my ashes when I die to Oregon, some high green hill, and bury me and leave me lie at peace beneath the mountain sky, off in that green and lovely land we dreamed of, you and I." At last she saw her husband clear, who stayed and labored all those years, his mountains all uncrossed, of dreams postponed and finally lost, which one of us can count the cost and not be filled with tears. And yet how bright those visions are of mountains that we sense afar, the land we never see, the golden west, the golden gate, are visions that illuminate and give wings to the human heart wherever we may be. That old man by dreams possessed, by Oregon was truly blessed, who saw it through the eye of faith, this land of sweet destiny, in his eye, more than a state, and something like a star. I write this poem in Oregon, wanting the leaden words to soar in memory of my ancestor and all the who lie along the way. God rest their souls on a golden shore. God bless us who struggle on. We are the life that they longed for. We bear their vision every day. Garrison Keillor, great author, great performer, great radio guy. Met him. I actually signed my book, this very book. Wonderful guy. That poem for my youngest godson, who is going off today to start his own life and pursuing the dreams that so many of us never get to do. Pursuing that thing that we're passionate for. I am thankful that I got the second chance at radio to come back and do something that I'm passionate for. But I wonder sometimes, the 17 years that I was away, what if I'd stayed in it? What would have become of me? And so I'm really happy that my youngest godson, Jason, is going off today while he's still young, 23, and starting a brand new career, a brand new life. And I am immensely proud of him, and I wish him all the best. Looking forward to hearing all about his journeys and pursuing those dreams, those things that a lot of us never have the courage to do. It takes courage to leave home, to go off on your own and spread your wings, to say, I'm going to do this myself. Takes a lot of courage, so I'm proud of him. Good luck, Jason. I love you lots, and look forward to having lunch with him a little bit later on and bidding him adieu. Never a goodbye, only so long until we see each other again and on Wisconsin. Who we're going to see next is the wonderful and talented Luke Mathers, who will join us on this show, talk a little bit about the upcoming tournament, perhaps, talk about what's coming up on Dueling Tangents. And is Brian Kelly actually still in town? Yes, he is. He has not been in a parts unknown. He'll be back. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Making our way downtown.
Oh, okay, all right. It is 10:33. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Your forecast for today: sunny skies across the state. Looking at 42 in Richland Center, 38 in Wausau, 37 in Amory. It's going to be a beautiful day across the state of Wisconsin before the snow moves in on Thursday. So be aware of that. Our own ray of sunshine, our ball of sunshine and happiness. Mr. Luke Mathers is joining us, the co-host of Dueling Tangents, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network at 2 o'clock, with the exception of WXCO in Wausau, where Chad Holmes does the great Chad Holmes show between 2 and 4. For the rest of the folks, it is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. It is Tuesday with Tangents, and here is Mr. Luke Mathers.
How are we doing today, Todd?
I am fantastic. How about you?
I'm really appreciative of this sunshine.
Yeah, right?
I woke up kind of a little... It was not as nice to start the morning.
Yeah, no,
it was a little overcast and everything, so it was kind of a weird start to the morning. And then I realized it was Tuesday while I was getting some work done at home, and I was like, oh, I better get in the car and head over to the studio real quick so I don't have to do the appearance from my laptop. Yeah. And so glad to be with you on this Tuesday afternoon.
Glad to be with you.
Tuesday morning.
You were very kind to have me as a little guest fill-in host yesterday. It was a lot of fun. Mr. Kelly, now he is, for those who might be wondering and worried, because, you know, we get a lot of email on where is Brian Kelly, what is he doing, you can confirm that he is okay.
Yeah, I can confirm he's okay. We're workshopping the board game, like Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego.
Oh, yes.
We're working on Where in Wisconsin is Brian Kelly, and we'll see if Hasbro or, you know, the Parker Brothers, if somebody will pick it up and help, you know, Dueling Tangents with an additional revenue stream. We'll see.
100%. But, you know, he's helping to set up the new network, and so got to fill in a little bit yesterday for him. So
and I greatly appreciate that.
We appreciate
that. We had so much fun, and an hour is hard to cover all the different topics, too, so we didn't get to everything that we planned on talking about, and so I'm glad I can join you here, and we can kind of toss some tangents around on your show now.
And we appreciate that. You have a little bit of breaking news you saw on your phone there over the break, a little bit of breaking news on the Supreme Court race and lightness. Lots of breaking news this morning, but lightness on the lake. Latest news, Mr. Mathers.
Well, yesterday it was going around that it was kind of strange because to date yesterday, the Kelly campaign had not put any money in television or radio for the April 4th general, which is 4 weeks from today. Mm-hmm. So kind of strange. No radio spend or television spend coming out of the Kelly campaign after advancing out of February 21st primary. Mm-hmm. And so it was talked about, well, what's going on? And we knew the conservative money was coming, but the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, Alexander Scher over at the Wisconsin State Journal. Yes. He is the state politics reporter, over at the State Journal, reporting that Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce has put $1.2 million behind Dan Kelly, plus the American Principles Project, as of March 1st, is spending $245,000 on digital ads for Kelly, and Fair Courts America putting down $546,000. So the Kelly campaign not doing any individual buys itself, but a lot of conservative special interest groups putting some money into this campaign spend.
Wow. It's going to be a big buy. And, of course, we reported on this show last week that we had confirmation that the Terrence Group, who was a conservative polling firm, Republican polling firm, was out in the field last week. And so perhaps maybe it was WMC that was paying for that, after all. And
it could
so
have been,
it could get some numbers and find out they did some push polling on that, trying to bring down Judge Janice numbers. But we'll find out. I'll be very interested to see what kind of ads they're going to put out. My guess is they're not going to be Dan Kelly's a great guy type of ad.
Let's see how close Tiny gets.
It's going to be Judge Janet essentially supports abortion on demand. Judge Janet wants to take away your guns, and Judge Janet is going to undo the legal maps to help Democrats and liberals get elected. I believe that's the message that will come out of these.
You think guns are going to get worked in there?
I do. They were pulling on it.
Interesting. Oh, okay. So that was part of the question.
That was part of the question.
I did not know that full set.
I think they're because they don't have anything else. I mean, we said this on your show yesterday on Dueling Tangents. You know, so there's this whole issue of debates, whether or not there should be debates, and Judge Janet has said she's going to do one debate, whether or not this is good for democracy or not. I said this whole thing could be wrapped up in about 30 seconds. You know, Judge Janet supports democracy. Dan Kelly accepted over $100,000 or $100,000 to steal your vote after the 2020 election. Do you want to vote for democracy or do you want to vote for a schmuck? There you go.
And I agree with you. I think there's going to be a lot of money spent in this election summarizing those points. I have a feeling the pro-Kelly spots are going to take a slightly different angle, though. Everybody on the conservative side online is trying to get around this hashtag of no jail Janet. Ooh, and I think it's going to be the bail leniency is what the conservatives are going to really. Dan Kelly is going to now have a endorsement from Judge Doro. She came out during the four-way primary saying, absolutely, if I'm not the conservative candidate, I will endorse the conservative candidate that makes it through. So he's going to have an endorsement from the candidate that he defeated, but also the candidate that was who oversaw the trial of Daryl Brooks Jr., the Waukesha parade tragedy when six individuals died back in November of 2021. I think conservatives are going to, with the fact that there is an amendment on the ballot talking about bail reform and what was effective last fall against the Mandela Barnes campaign, I think conservatives, I mean, Scott Walker kind of bumbled it already because he called her No Jail Judy, which is obviously not the candidate's name, but they are very much trying to use this hashtag so now.
Yeah.
He was talking about yesterday about the clumsy hand of government doesn't need to be in individuals' lives any more than it absolutely has to be, and he had like three typos in the tweet.
Former
Governor Scott Walker was talking about the clumsy hand of the government, and he himself couldn't actually get the spelling down.
Do you know what he's doing now for a job?
He's working for the Young American Foundation. $720,000 annual salary.
He also sells popcorn at halftime Marquette games.
No way.
He works in the concessions.
That's probably for a good cause. Throughout high school, when it was then the Bradley Center, my parents, to help pay for bands and other all the different sports, used it for a fundraising tool. But I would go and help out too when my little brother was in band. So I can understand if you're working for a cause in the Milwaukee area, work in the concession stands at the Bradley Center or now the Pfizer Forum, because I used to do that. So
I used to sell popcorn at Pioneer Games as well down in Platteville.
I sold popcorn as Boy Scout.
See, and he's an Eagle Scout. Yes. I was a dropout.
Scott Walker, Aaron, and I, all Eagle Scouts.
But see, based on having spent time with Scott Walker, unfortunately, in rooms and knowing him a little bit, there's no way he was a legit Eagle Scout. He cheated. I'm sure somebody helped him with his.
I'm sure somebody signed off on merit badges that he was kind of the bare minimum on. And let's not pretend. I probably got one or two that way too. But
you didn't run for governor.
No, I never ran for governor and used. And he ran for president, saying that he could be the commander in chief because he was an Eagle Scout. I'm so like, I'm sorry, I'm an Eagle Scout, and I don't think that qualifies me to lead the armed forces of the United States.
I don't think I know any Eagle Scouts personally who are qualified to do that.
Most Eagle Scouts won't be like, I'm an Eagle Scout, so let me do this. It's more of they show by doing rather than telling.
See, it's a humility thing.
Yeah.
Most Eagle Scouts.
But
I'm sorry, I got down on a tangent and got away from the subject, but appropriate.
I think it's going to be bail reform and criminal justice is going to be what the conservatives plan to use in this $1.2 million spend that Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, which, you know, very... very apolitical group. Very apolitical group there. They're the largest chamber of commerce in the state, really choosing a candidate and putting their thumb on the scale on this one.
Scott Manley. And Mr. Bauer over there.
Yep, Kurt Bauer.
Yep. Know those people. What's interesting is they don't believe half the crap they say.
It's true.
They're there for a paycheck.
I fully believe that. I fully believe that.
But I left that out because I agree with you, because that was another question, was talking about they made up for in this poll, the push poll that the Terrence group had last week in Wisconsin. They were asking if you knew that Judge Janet had let a sex offender out early. So I think it's going to be keep your kids safe from, because Judge Janet's going to let child molesters on the street. Yeah. All of course completely untrue, but or greatly exaggerated, but you're right. I think they will use that as well. They're just trying to scare people.
I mean, News Talk 1110 or whatever the news talker is, conservative talk radio in Milwaukee, was using the hashtag No Jail Janet. So they're
trying to get something.
That's the venue that is going to be the vessel that these conservatives and organizations like a news talk radio station using that as a talking point in right. reporting on a story of whether or not she was accepting a debate is just ludicrous to think that is an acceptable way for a radio station to put out content. So
it's just like with Mandela Barnes, where there were all the ads saying Mandela Barnes wants to release criminals into your kitchen because he wanted to get rid of cash bail. And you're like, no, he's doing literally the opposite. The point is so people can't just buy their way out.
The best thing to do is just play the Parks and Rec clip. Bobby Newport, Bobby Newport, Bobby Newport for those individuals, and be like, can you see that this is so out there that it is satire now? Because I mean, we've seen it be something that you laugh about now, but it is how absurd some of these individuals and organizations are pushing this messaging here in Wisconsin.
What do you don't have anything positive to run on? That's all.
There you go. Aaron's got it. Yeah.
I'm against crime, and I'm not ashamed to admit it.
It's like, duh. Yeah,
right. I'm Bobby Newport. I'm not going to stand here and tell you facts about what I plan to do to help this city. Well, Bobby Newport for City Council.
So, and that
keep
was
asking me, Bobby, what are you going to do once you get in office? I'm pretty sure I'll figure it out.
And Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, who will be joining me on Dueling Tangents later today at 2:30, he was the one that first pointed out that Tim Michaels was the Bobby Newport candidacy. But it very much feels like Dan Kelly's kind of taking that same vibe now as well, because he's going to be, I'm the conservative, and then doesn't want to actually run on his record. They're just going to use attack ads to make it seem like Protasiewicz is a worse candidate rather than actually build himself up and run on his record.
Here's all you need to know, once again, about the Supreme Court race. Judge Janet Protasiewicz, a longtime respected Milwaukee judge with a near spotless record who wants to uphold the Constitution and protect the rights and not be an activist judge, but apply the law the way it is written. She is a progressive. On the conservative side, you have former Justice Dan Kelly, appointed by Scott Walker, never duly elected, creamed in his attempt to get elected by Judge Karofsky, didn't even come close. And then he palled around with Michael Gableman, the Supreme Court Justice, who used $2 million a year vote to prove that the 2020 election was stolen. Not even Robin Voss bought it. He fired him. He's a nut job. And then he took over $100,000 in Republican money to be cohorts with that whole cabal of people trying to create fake electors via Ron Johnson, via Mike Pence, via Andrew Hitt of the state Republican Party to steal your vote. There's your choice, folks. You choose. What do you want? The good woman or the bad dude? That's it. That's all you need to know.
And you need to know that if between now and 4 weeks from today, April 4th, if you want to be a voter, make a plan to be a voter, and go to myvote.wi.gov to learn more. You can make sure that your registration status is up to date. You can see who's on your entire ballot, because yes, the state Supreme Court race is a statewide race, but there are other down ballot races as well on local ballots. You want to research the candidates that are going to be on your ballot on April 4th and be a plan. I believe early voting, in-person absentee voting starts 2 weeks from today. So
thank you. Appreciate that. And also, if you get one of these goofy things, anything you get in your mailbox that tries to tell you, like, here's how to use this to vote early or get your absentee ballot, throw it out. Because we found out last week or whatever it was that some progressive or Democratic leading group with the right intent trying to help people to vote early printed erroneous crap and put it in people's mailboxes, and it was going to goof everything up. So I just wish both parties would stop doing this. Luke is 100% right. If you want to vote early, either call your friendly local clerk in your township, in your city, in your village. They're great folks. Mm-hmm. They will help you vote early. Or go to
myvote.wi.gov.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for helping old man up.
No worries.
There you go. Go to that, and it can help you figure it out. Just the direct mail stuff you get in the mail, just toss it out.
Unless you can also, that can be your plan to vote, is every year at the beginning of the year, if you go to that same website and you register to receive an absentee ballot for all future elections, if you go through the process that myvote.wi has, you can receive an absentee ballot for the entire year.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
So you can check that box at the beginning of the year, and then it will send you your absentee ballot appropriately right before the election.
We'll be back after this. Stay tuned. You're on the Todd Audible Show with Luke Mathers on Civic Media. Sunday Night Football. We have turned the All Ball Show into sports talk across the Civic Media Radio Network for the next 10 minutes or so. We don't get a chance to talk only sports that often, but want to turn our attention. Breaking news this morning, of course, in all seriousness. According to Wire reports, the Green Bay Packers have given permission to the New York Jets to speak to Aaron Rodgers, which happened last night, according to reports, meaning that the Rodgers apparently is at least interested to hearing out the Jets, and the Jets have interest, and the Packers apparently have interest in moving into the season of love, Jordan Love, that is. Luke Mathers, what say you?
How do you think this cell phone reception is in that little hovel out in Oregon? He's left the darkness. He doesn't need cell service there anymore.
He has emerged.
I mean, I think we all saw this coming. And to at least the degree, I didn't know there was going to be the Jets. There was going to be some teams interested with the way that the Rodgers Love saga has been playing out. And his after losing to Detroit and failing to make the playoffs this last season, it sounded like, you know, Aaron Rodgers was leaving the door open. Mm-hmm. And this is what he was leaving the door open for. So I'm not completely shocked. I think it's hilarious that Rodgers refuses to say that he's anything like Favre, and he may go be a New York Jet next.
Which means next year he'll be playing for the Vikings.
Well, no, I think Favre did two seasons in
New
York,
two?
Did he?
I thought it was one, and then he went to Minnesota.
I want to say he did a two-year deal. Maybe. I could be wrong, though, because I just started becoming like an avid Packer fan right when that whole thing was going on.
I think it was a season because he sent a personal picture from the nether region. That was the whole thing out in New York for
that sounds
for,
correct
for
and,
Favre.
And I was very young, so I can believe that my parents probably sheltered me from those headlines as well.
It wasn't impressive all the way around. I'll simply say that. And so anyway,
but it's just comical that like Rodgers like for all it's worth wanted to be nothing like Favre, and now this saga is just playing out identically to Favre.
Throw in a vial of Vicodin, and we're on the ready to go.
Hey, if we get a nice defensive piece and some second or third round picks for Rodgers, I think that could be a very interesting move. And I think that the Green Bay Packers, maybe not this upcoming season, but in the next couple seasons, would be set to compete again. And it's going to be hard. I think there was going to be a messy, after the Love draft pick happened, I thought that it was going to be a messy situation regardless. The fact that we got two back-to-back MVP seasons out of him and nothing to show for it, I mean, it was really cool. He was playing lights out. He was playing out of his mind. Some of the best football that he ever had. It lit a fire under his butt. And now these last 2 years we've been in this situation. It's like, what's going to happen? Is he going to retire? Is he going to leave? Is he going to demand a trade? Is he going to be showing up to the training camps? And so I'm kind of ready to put that kind of all saga right behind us. I'm a big fan of the team, and I haven't really been paying attention to the team with this whole drama because, I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks are the team right now to watch, and I'm going to keep an eye on that franchise
and as long as I can. Luke, because Luke has been obsessed with this story now. Maybe not obsessed. He loves it. And I think it is a great story. Tell us about what happened here on the Bucks.
It was bogus. So in the waning seconds of Sunday night's game, Giannis threw up a shot that was not really a shot, but it was a shot at the basket, and he
hit the backboard.
It hit the backboard. I don't know if it hit the rim even, but it came back to him, and they counted it on Sunday night as a rebound, and it was his 10th rebound to give him a triple double. And for those that aren't aware of what a triple double is, when you record double digits in three different stat lines, so points scored, rebounds, and assists were the three categories that Giannis recorded it in on Sunday night. He had a triple double, which is a phenomenal feat for NBA players. We track who does double doubles and triple doubles throughout the entire season, and so it was going to be his fourth triple double of the year. And then the NBA rescinded it because they said that the final rebound wasn't actually a rebound, so he only had a double double on Sunday night, not a triple double. And I just think that's outrageous. It's just. Come on.
You should give it to him. Just the fact that he's Giannis. Were they taking that away from Michael Jordan back in the day? No, they would not.
But stats are so subjective to the specific team bookkeepers because this has been a phenomenon all year long. Four blocks. And so the home team gets to record the blocks. And so Brooke Lopez, if you took everything even, Brooke Lopez has the most blocks in the NBA. But the Memphis Grizzlies bookkeeper has a thing out for Jackson. They're incredible. He was an all-star. He was terrific too, but he's leading actually in blocks, but he has like twice as many blocks at home as on the road this year. And so there's somebody's fudging the numbers on blocks. And so if Jackson down in Memphis can get his blocks inflated, I think Giannis can get one more rebound on Sunday night and have his triple double.
I would have given it to him.
It's outrageous.
Well, you know, some I'm gonna try to get I don't have permission to say his name. I know the official scorer for the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, yeah?
He doesn't talk about it much at all. He keeps it very DL. But maybe I can have him on the show.
Is it Jordan Love? Is that what he's been tasked with the last couple of years?
It's not Jordan Love. I do know the guy. And so that'd be an interesting question to ask someone who does official scoring, how that all works.
And so if look it up. It's a phenomenon as well. If you don't believe me, there is a questionable, and it's been something Marcus Smart winning Defensive Player of the Year last year for Boston. There are some stats that can be a little fluffed for the home teams, and so I think
Mathers wants to be the fluffer.
No, I don't want to be the fluffer. I just want to hold all these fluffers accountable because for whatever I think, if it was a home game, if the Bucks were playing at the Pfizer, I actually don't know if they were where they were. I think they were in Washington on Sunday night, but I don't know. I honestly, I thought the game was last night, so I didn't tune in, and then I got a score update that they won the game on Sunday, and I was like, crap, I could have been watching the Bucks tonight.
All right,
but I watched the Badgers instead.
Great transition. Got a minute and a half left. The Badgers play on Wednesday in the Big Ten tournament. We're not streaming it due to legalities, but people can listen on RCE in Richland Center and Amory on WLAK. And then also Marquette plays on Thursday, I believe, in the second round of that tournament on the Wausau station, WXCO. Any predictions?
I hate the Buckeyes. So let's go Badgers, send Ohio State home, and let's see if we can get a little run going and ensure that we make it to the tournament.
Does Wisconsin win, or does Wisconsin get in the NCAA tournament with one win in the Big Ten tournament?
Yes, but they have to play in, I think.
I agree with that. I think if they beat Ohio State on Wednesday, they would play Iowa on Thursday. And I think if they win both of those games, then I think they're out of the play-in. Yes. They're in the tournament, but they don't have to play in.
Correct. I agree with that.
And thank you. Marquette, the number one seed in the Big East tournament. Shaka Smart getting it done. Marquette's number five in the country right now.
Going to be a two seed.
It's incredible.
Two seed for the tournament, unless they could even bolster those with the Big East tourney.
As a Badger fan, it hurts me to say that, but you got to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah, the Badgers still had the win this year.
Right? So. And that's what Steve the Homer True on another radio station in Milwaukee made that point, that the Badgers beating Marquette was huge for them.
Huge.
Luke Mathers, thank you. We'll see you at 2 o'clock on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day, everybody. Until then, keep banging on your drum. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, and this is the All Ball Show. See you mañana, everybody.